Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is we are live on Blog Talk Radio. It is another edition of D&K Bible Break. I just want to say good evening to each and everyone that's out there that's listening in, that's tuning in, whether you called in on the phone lines or you're listening to the internet. We just want to say good evening to each and every one of you. I am the host, Derek Oliver. My wife, Miss Kay, is on the line with us. Good evening, Kay.
Good evening. Happy Monday.
And we just want to thank all those who are joined in with us to listen in to another episode of D&K Bible Break. We want to first thank the Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for waking us up this morning, giving us activities of our limb, and for being the head of our life. We also want to just thank him before we go any further. And if we've done anything that's not of him, we ask for forgiveness, knowing and unknowing. We also want to thank my sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Outback Steakhouse, Finish Line, Brentwood Publishing. Get one more. Pizza. That's it. If I remember it, we'll get right back to it. Also, we want to, again, thank everyone for tuning in. We got another, I'm going to call it a chaos edition of D&K Bible Break, because today we're going to, it's going to probably take a couple weeks, but we're going to break down a real man, the definition of a real man. We're not going to be on long tonight. There will be another addition to this next week. But today I'm just going to ask the question, what do you think, in your opinion, what is a real man? That's my question before we get started. Kay, anything you want to say before we get started?
I'm ready to get started.
You ready to get started? All right, I'm glad you're ready. So I can catch my breath. You want to open us up in prayer?
Sure, sure. Father God, we come to you this evening, first of all, asking for forgiveness for anything that we said, done, or even thought that's unpleasing in your sight. We ask for forgiveness right now. We ask that you just be in the midst of our conversation on tonight. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Pray that something is said that may encourage someone or just even make someone just think about the topic, and may it be a conversation for someone going forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Again, we're going to be talking about the definition of a man. It's really I'm not going to say it's easy. It's kind of hard to, kind of hard. And I was thinking about it today, and as I was thinking about it, it seemed like when I focus on it, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm trying to go somewhere, and I'm going to ask my wife to keep me on track that I don't lose focus on what we're talking about. But a couple of weeks ago, me and my wife, we went and saw the movie Respect, about Aretha Franklin. And then I believe it was maybe over the weekend, my wife watched another edition of her life about Aretha Franklin. Now, y'all probably wonder where I'm going with this, about what this got to do with a man. Well, when I was growing up, I used to always hear these great things about Aretha Franklin's father, how he was always helping Dr. King, and he was his big-time pastor. But if you watch the movie Respect, it kind of tainted what I grew up knowing. I heard a lot of rumors and everything, but, you know, most men of God in the church, you know, you don't know what you can believe and what you can't believe. But in the movie, it was plain as day about his character. And it's just like, wow, this is really deep. And I didn't know these things when I was coming up. So kind of a shock to me when I saw the movie and that the way that her father was. And I'm like, wow, that's, you know. And, you know, my wife, we was talking about it after the movie, and we were like, well, that's how they were back in that time. And I'm like, well, that's a horrible way to be a man. It's just not my envision of being. And I started thinking about certain things just in my own life and people that I've known about men. And that's what we're going to talk about. Your definition of what a real man is. And I guess my first question I'm going to ask you, Kay, is because you have daughters, nieces, sisters, and I don't want to use myself, so don't take me out of the equation, but what type of man do you see just in general when you talk to people, when you see maybe your daughter's friends? Do you see any traces of what's a real man?
Well, the funny thing about you asking me that question is I really don't have an example of a real man. I mean, well, I can't say I don't have an example. I don't have a personal, I didn't grow up with a personal example of a real man, if I could say it that way, when I say grow up, because, you know, neither one of my two dads were you know, real men, if you ask me. But and I grew up with all women, so we didn't really have a lot of men in our family for me to be able to even relate to. But what I can say is, based off of the men that I did see, it was not a good example. It was like slim pickings. It was like, okay, either you're going to take one that's rough and tough and you might get knocked around, or you're going to take one that's a little punk that you can push around. I mean, there was no balance between someone that was tough but gentle. I didn't see a balanced person. I see either to the extreme of one hand or to the extreme of another hand. Either you was if I could say the word punk, either you was a sap and your woman ran all over you and the woman wore the pants, if I could say it that way, or you were heavy on the hand and you treated your woman like crap. Those are the scenarios that I've seen. I didn't see the middle person.
Right, right. Now, that was you coming up. Now, Today, when you look at these young men today, now that you're a little older, wiser, and smarter, now that you see men today, how do you
I think it depends on
down?
The age group.
Starting from the
20s
all the way up.
Yeah, so in the 20s, I see a lot of these. I mean, I'm not speaking for all 20 to 30-year-olds. I'm just speaking for, you know, some of the ones that I know. Some of them are immature. They're entitled. They feel entitled, spoiled, either by the women in their lives or they're just all about themselves. So it's a more of a selfish generation in the 20s, and they rather have somebody take care of them than them get a job. Now, it's not all 20s, but from my experience with the ones that I see, that sniff around. Okay, yeah, you can go back to your mama's house. So that's my take on the 20s.
Okay, okay. The reason we want to have this conversation is just because, to me, there's a lack of real men around, and they're slim pickings. Even myself, when I go to work or I'm just out and about and you're talking to other men, we ain't even getting to the part of being a godly. We're just talking about a general man. And then we're going to put in the spiritual. We're going to get probably to the spiritual next week. We ain't going to have time to do all of this because I want to take my time with this because I want to make sure that I'm giving everyone a fair shake on what it is to be a real man. And by definition, my definition, what is a real man? A real man is a man that, A, knows how to provide for himself. That's number one. Number two, a real man is one that is active in a community. Number three, a real man is one that, you know, you have to, probably should have been first, you have to have a relationship with Christ. That's probably the first, and the rest will fall into place. But I'm looking at these men, and some of them are in their 40s. All they want to do is smoke weed and play PlayStation 5. And they have kids, and that's all they want to do. They want to have kids, but they don't want to take care of their kids. And they want to put it on the woman to take care of their kids. Then you have some of the younger men who, you know, they want to play games. You know, they have no sense of responsibility at home. And it's just, it's like, I don't know who's raising these young men up. It's just, to me, it's trifling. All the way from my age, all the way down to these younger men, it's just, I don't get it. I had a young man at work, I think he's 35. He asked me if I had a PlayStation. I told him no. He said, man, you don't get on the gas. And man, I don't really have time to do that. I'm not saying that you, I'm not knocking people who play games. Don't get me wrong, but there's more to life than being on a game system. And I said, well, what you doing this weekend? Now, he has an 11-year-old son. And he's like, no, I'm going to be playing a game this weekend. He didn't mention nothing about spending time with his son. But he said he only spent time with his son one weekend out of the month. And it just didn't make sense to me. And I don't know his story, and I'm just using that as an example of one of the things that I've heard over the course of the last 2 weeks. I'm looking at another young man, this was an older man, older than me, and this was over the summer, who was telling me that we was too hard on my wife's son. And I was looking at him like he was crazy. And he couldn't understand why we had rules set up for him. Let him be a man. Go ahead, let him get a tattoo. Let him do this. It was just, and I was saying to myself, wow. So even though you know.
Childhood dad that you're talking about.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to put it out there, but since you put it out there.
Okay. It don't matter.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I don't want to be, you know, family be saying we talk about them anyway. I really wasn't trying to give them an avenue for them to say we was talking about them. But at the end of the day, it was an older man who was coming at me as a man saying that we was too hard raising another young man. Now, this is the older man who didn't take care of his own kids, but yet going to tell me how to take care of kids. And I've already raised two sons. Now, I ain't saying that they're the best sons in the world, but I think I'd like to say I've done a pretty good job of it, so to the point that it just disgusts me when I see these young men. And then I hear other people say that, well, you know, men mature a lot slower. So when you get older, they're going to get, you know, wiser as they get older. But I just don't see that happening. I just don't see that happening. And I just wanted to take my time because, again, using my family as an example, a young man came over my house to see my wife's daughter and never got out of the car. Never got out of the car. Now, I don't fault him. I fault his parents. Because I wasn't. And the people that I grew up with wasn't raised like that. You just don't go over someone's house without knocking on the door, speaking to the parent. Maybe it's a lost art.
Can I just say, I've gotten picked up in my teen years plenty of times. This is not to get this, because that guy that came over here, I mean, he was supposed to be bringing her something to eat and leaving, but that's something different. But I know plenty of people who their parents have never met the person. So it also goes with how you grow up and what the rules are in your house. So if that young man wasn't taught to go to somebody's door, like you said, it's a lost art. Maybe he wasn't taught that, or maybe he didn't think it was a big deal just to drop the food off and go. It just depends on how you're raised. And as far
okay,
as
well,
somebody,
when, since she said,
if there is no, but if there is no, if there is, okay, this is the way I view it. A lot
well,
of
before
men,
you do, before you do, older, let me let
a
me
lot
stop.
Of the older men, they're not training the younger men on how to do things. So how can you know something when nobody is teaching you that?
So let me ask you a question, because I got to correct you, and you always get me to lose my focus. You said when you were growing up, people just came and picked you up without knocking at the door. Am I correct? Did I hear you say that correctly?
Nobody knocked at my mama's door, no. My
okay,
mama
wait,
wasn't
wait,
home
wait,
anyway,
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
There was no
I have to correct
there.
You. I have to correct
okay.
you. Because I came to
That's
your house.
That's
I
That's
came
you,
to
though.
Your
you one person.
But what
you
said,
person.
No. But see, my point. One person. That's my point. And when I came to your house, you weren't feeling well, and I brought you a bag of groceries, as some people like to crack on me and say. And I knocked on your door. I didn't beat the horn and tell you to come outside. What I'm saying, we were young.
But we're not talking. So, but it's yeah. not, what I'm saying is you're talking about what you did when you were younger. Okay, your dad
you
was in your life.
You,
Your dad taught you. And then as far as my child, her dad ain't here either. So what?
That's not. What I'm saying is,
if you don't have anybody guiding you, it's like you're trying to figure stuff out on your own.
Okay, you know, I'm trying to build a picture, and when I try to build this picture, it's like you are justifying it because there was no men in people's lives.
No justification, but you're asking the reason why something is okay, and I'm telling you the reason why.
Well, I didn't live under the same roof as my father. Now, he's a part of my life, but pretty much my mother, and we're going to get into this, taught me.
But you see an example of what a real man looked like. You had that example.
I also seen a lot of examples of what men ought not to do. As well,
right?
I mean,
but
it depends.
But if all you see is the latter of what you just said, then what do you think is going to happen? If all you see is what men are not supposed to be doing, they're going to follow what they see.
Okay, but the question is, follow what they see. The question is, there's that saying, you know, it takes community to raise a child. When you see something that's not right, aren't you supposed to correct it? Aren't you supposed to be like,
who's
you don't do this,
them?
You're supposed to do that? Okay, well, I'm not personally singling you out, but what I'm saying is,
no, I'm asking
when we see young men,
community.
When we see young men and we see them not acting like young men, it's like, it's okay. It's okay. See, I don't want to keep saying I'm from the old school. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. and to grow up, first of all, and like I said, we're going to deal with the spiritual part of this part next week, just the basic foundation of being a young man. And what I'm tired of seeing is young men with the sense of, I'm not going to even call them men, they're males. They don't even have the definition of being a real man. They're not even close to being a real man. It's not even nowhere near close. These young boys, they don't know how to cook. They don't know how to clean. They don't even know how to go to, they don't know how to do nothing. And they're being raised, and this is just my opinion, being raised by these women who really don't have a clue. And it's like, okay, and they're raising these males to be punks. That's what they are. And the fact of the matter is, at some point, we have to stop. And now you got to be politically correct. You can't say certain stuff. You can't say what I'm saying right now. You can't say, it's just not politically correct to say that. That's not nice. And you have to, you know, do what Kay say, and they don't know, and can make all these excuses for not being a real man. Now, I was thinking about this earlier today, and my mother, before she married my father, she was a single mother, and she was raising, before me and my brother, two boys. One of them happened to turn out to be pretty good. The other one still banging his head, making excuses, blaming my mother, him being screwed up. But he had the same example, the same amount of love that my other brother has had. My other brother went to college. He went to the Army. He was married. He was, you know, he lived a pretty good life. And I'm sitting up here and I'm saying to my other brother, he just made wrong choices. It's not that he didn't have everything. He just chose to do wrong. And if you choose to do wrong and you want to live your life like that, okay, that's on you. You cannot say because of whatever society or whatever hand you was dealt, that's the reason you ended up the way you ended up. That's because at some point you have to take accountability for yourself. And if you are raised up to live off a woman, if you are raised up to try to control a woman, if you are raised up not to know how to take care of a woman, at some point something's going to kick in and be like, okay, this isn't how a real man's supposed to do it. But you have women in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s taking care of grown males. And it's okay. And the excuse is, oh, they didn't have a father. And they want to use all these excuses on why, what. Okay, I'll give you a pass for a few years on why you didn't. But at some point, you have to be accountable to your manhood as a man. And some of these women ought to stop giving these men passes on being a real man and make a man up or put them out, period. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. Now, we can make excuses all day long, and you can say, oh, because I had a father. Yeah, I had a father. So that's wrong because my father had certain things and did certain things. There's other people who had fathers. They just chose to go down the wrong path. That the choice they made. It wasn't because their father or mother was in their life. We want to give everyone an excuse on why they should be wrong. And then we want to send them to psychiatrists and stuff and be like, this is the reason because you didn't have a father as a child. I'm over that. In some cases, yeah. You know, I get 10% of the cases, yeah. But some cases you just grow up and have some, I want to say something, but I can't. I don't know what type of crowd will listen to me tonight. But, you know, be a man and be responsible for every mistake that I make. I can't blame it that my father wasn't under my roof. For every mistake I can make, I can't say because I was listening to my brother. I have to be accountable for myself on what it's like to be a real man. And again, I just want to keep reiterating this because next week we're going to get into the spiritual sense of what it is when God designed us to be a real man. But even speaking of that for a little bit, when God created man and created Adam, you know, he gave Adam some responsibility. A lot of these men don't have no responsibility. They just living. Some of them living in their mama's house and they okay with it. they are perfectly fine with it. And the mama don't want them to go. They want them to do nothing. Just live in there. I'll take care of you. In the system. Always looking for a get-rich-quick scheme so they ain't got to go to work. Then when they get to work, they don't want to listen to the man. Yeah, I'm talking about the black man now. And then when you get into the church and you see these men, a lot of men, and I'm talking about the men that I know, that I've come across, are not really real men. And one of the things, and I'm going to get into it next week, I keep saying I'm going back to next week, I'm just trying to get the breakdown of where we are going wrong or what's the definition of a real man. What is it? How old do you have to be before you be accountable of being a real man? What do you have to do? I have two sons. My oldest son, he's out there a little bit. I'm going to say he had a rough life. Not because he was raised to have a decision that he made it rough for him. My baby boy is spoiled. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. He's spoiled, and he feels entitled, period. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, my baby boy, he works two jobs. He's in school. He has no kids. Never been in trouble with the law. Pretty much got his head on straight. I'm saying that because I'm proud of it. And am I proud of him being spoiled? No, that was my fault for spoiling him. But at the same token, I do know that he knows how to do certain things. He do know how to go over a woman's house and be respectful. He do know how to do certain things. He know how to do certain things that was instilled in me that I tried to instill in him. Now, he still got a long way to go in some areas, and like I said, there's no thing of being perfect. But when I see these other young men, I just shake my head at it. And that's pretty much what I want to discuss. I feel like I'm talking a lot. You have anything you want to say? Okay. Did I lose you? Did I lose you? I lost
you.
Lost
just
unmuted. Once you got mad.
No. You had me muted.
I did. I don't mute
Can
nobody.
You?
I did not have you muted.
Let me just tell you right here. For one, I got hung up on, and I wasn't on the line. I called back in, and I've been sitting here, and I couldn't talk. So I think somebody may have got little upset about something I said and disconnected me off the line.
Wow. Well, first of all, I'm a real man. I don't operate like that. And I'm listening to my engineer now. First of all, my lines are lit up tonight, and you got dropped. It had nothing to do with me. It was the system that
dropped.
I got
dropped during me talking, right.
Oh, really? Okay, because I was talking for a while. But anyway, getting back to
where I was. Because I was muted.
Go ahead and say, you got the mic now. I'm going to be quiet for a minute. You got the mic. Go ahead.
No, you good. You good. I just wanted to make a comment about something that you said. So you gave the scenario of your two brothers. I hear an echo. Is that me? Okay. All right. So you gave your scenario about your two brothers. They grew up in the same household. One went one path and one went another path. So like you said, we all have choices. So there comes a point in life where, you know, we're going to either, I mean, I can't really speak for a man, but you're going to either pull up your big boy draws and handle your business, or you're going to continue to sag. So it just depends on the choice that you make in life. And because go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And because your brothers grew up in the same household, your mom, I'm sure, raised them the same way. So you're saying a lot about what the moms are doing, and the mom, like you're mentioning, if the mom going to, you know, take care of them and they living in a mama's house, all this stuff you're saying about the mom. Yes, you do have some mothers that enable their sons, and it's a bad situation because they become mama boys. They can't do nothing on their own. They don't pay bills. They just go to the next woman to take care of them, and it's a never-ending cycle. So, yes, that's on one hand. On the other hand, you do have some young people or some older people who got it early, and they handle their business, and some people, it took them a long time to get it. So everybody has either a point where they're going to get it right or they're going to continue to do what they're doing. So as far as the fathers, to me, when you speak about the moms letting their sons do this and raising them to be punks and all that, for me, is where is the dad? The mom did not make that child by herself. So where is the dad? When do the men take responsibility for their part? You want to keep blaming the woman for how the son turns out. Where's the dad?
I'm going to answer the question for you. I'm going to answer that question for you. First and foremost, when you say I'm saying the mothers, because I know, and I'm sure you know of some strong black women who had to do the role of both mother and father, and I commend them, and you know, for those that had to do that, I commend you. Now you're talking about where are the fathers? First of all, let's just say this: these young men who are now old men, and these young men who are young men now, you're developing that. Is a bad habit. And yeah, I'm blaming the woman. Yes, I'm said it. I'm blaming the woman because A, you're enabling something to not grow. You're enabling something to be something cute. You're enabling something to be something that's not a man, that's never intended on what God purpose of what a man is. A man is someone that has responsibility. You look at Adam when he was created and how God created him, and in the garden, he had responsibility. Okay, that's first and foremost. Women today don't want to let these men have no responsibility of doing nothing. Nothing. Women, when they raise their kids, they can't do nothing by themselves. Little boys, 3-4 years old, going to the bathroom, sitting down on the toilet to pee. That's not raising them to be a man. Raising them to be cute instead of be handsome. That's not raising them to be a young man. And people say, I don't want my son. Okay, I understand that. Well, you know, send them to a barbershop. One of the things, and I recommend this for every little boy, go to the barbershop, sit there for 2-3 hours, and then listen to the conversation. You come out a lot wiser, a lot better. It might be confusing in the beginning, but at least you're around some real men. Some people in the barbershop are real men. They will get you set up. One of the things that helped me as a single father was taking my son to the barbershop and letting him sit there for hours to get a haircut because he heard a lot of different conversations from a lot of different type of people, from a lot of different type of men. That was part of his, to this day, he loves going to the, but it's just part of his nature to go sit in the barbershop. If he got to wait 2 hours, he don't mind sitting there waiting 2 hours because he's going to hear some conversation from men. Now, I ain't saying all these men are rightful men, spiritual men, but they're men.
Can I ask you a question? Let me just ask you. So I understand what you did with your son. I understand your point of view, and I get it. And I agree with your point of view. But what about somebody who does not have that? All they know is what the streets are teaching them and what they homeboys are doing. They're just all walking around confused and they have no direction. What about those kids or those?
Then call them males. Don't call them men. Today we're going to call them males.
The reason I brought it up, if I can, I know Titus 2 talks about, you know, being a Titus 2 type of woman, and it goes into doing good for the sake of the gospel. I know we're going to touch on the gospel next week, but what I like about Titus 2 is it pretty, like you're talking about, if I, not in a spiritual sense, but just in a natural sense, when you say taking them to the barbershop and they listen to other grown men and all. Titus 2 is pretty much, you know, if we're supposed to be leading other people. So if
what
there's,
does Titus 2
if
say?
There's,
if you don't
if
mind, what does Titus 2 say?
I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll start it. It says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-control, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. And then it talks about the Titus 2 woman. And then I'm going to go down, because we're talking about men, so I'm going to go down to verse number 6. It says, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good, and your teaching show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about you. We're supposed to be teaching one another. That's what I mean. And if you don't have anybody teaching you, you are learning from the streets. And that's not a good place. Okay. That's why they all confused and they want to play games all day, or they want to smoke weed all day.
Some of them are like that because of what you said.
I'm not saying
but a lot
no.
of them.
I'm not saying
lot
no,
of them.
But when the streets raise you, you grow up the way you grow up in the streets. That's it.
What I'm saying is, and again, you just read it there and type what we're supposed to do. And yet, if there's no man a part of what's going on, you're still supposed to, this is the scripture you just read. I'm not making this not no philosophy. This isn't my opinion. This is what the word said, what we're supposed, how we're supposed to teach these young men, not teach them how to, A, hit other women. Because there's mamas out there telling them, someone hits you, you hit them back. I don't care if it is a female. You got them teaching them that. You got them not taking them to church so they don't have an attention span to go to church and sit down and listen for a long period of time. So they're not doing that. Number three, they're teaching them how to be cute instead of be handsome. There's a big difference in that. You got more young boys and teenage boys going to the hairdresser, getting their hair done, than going to a barbershop getting it cut. There's a big difference in that. You got more young men in the mirror trying to look cute instead of be handsome. So therefore, we messing this thing all the way up from the very beginning. And because these women don't know anything about a man, and they can be suckered into thinking that going to Applebee's is a gourmet dinner and it's the greatest thing on the earth, you fall for anything. And then you teach these young boys the same thing. You have to, A, B, you gotta have some old schooling, responsibility. You have to. And I'm not saying that my childhood was the greatest and we had, but my mother, because we lived with my mother, taught us how to clean, taught us how to cook, taught us when we got to a certain age, you had to go out and work. Even though we were playing sports, we had to go out and work. My first job was at Taco Bell. It wasn't a form of, okay, and when we got our money, we couldn't just go to the store and just buy what we wanted to buy. We had to give it to my mother. Period. Whether
okay,
we
that was
enough.
Your household. Everybody's household wasn't like that, though.
See, here we go. Let's stop. You're right. Everyone wasn't. But most of the people that I grew up with, we come up with the same routine. It was the
and
same
And none of the people
thing.
That I grew up with came up with that. And we came from the same city. And that's my point. You have the people that you know in your circle, the way they grew up, and the people that I know in my circle, nothing like what you're saying. It wasn't not, you better get on the corner and get yours how you going to get it. What you're saying is not a blanket of this is how people are raised, because everybody was raised differently. But at
everyone
the same time, like you said, everybody has choices. So it is a matter of what somebody chooses to do. Regardless of how they're raised, even if they're raised to the highest expectations, everything, even people who, you've seen it too, that they grew up in this kind of household and everything is looked perfect, and some people be going crazy. I mean, everything, it depends on that person and how they react to their environment. It's their decision
but
on what they
do. Let's not put it, and you're right, every household is different. Everyone grows up differently. I get it. But at some point in life, I could have made, matter of fact, I'm going to bring up some names, Danny Lee Hill. If y'all don't know him, Google him. We grew up in the same
hood.
We're
not going to talk about him. We're not going to talk about him.
Oh, I didn't know that was your cousin, but okay. When you Google him, we grew up, he hung out with us. We was all in the same gang. And when I mean a game, we wasn't in a game, but we played football together. Choices. People make choices. And the choices
people
you make,
make
you, okay, you make bad choices. Okay, that's
but if
you
the
do.
Dads
but
were,
at some
okay,
point,
but,
you
right,
cannot,
to me,
you cannot
it's,
say, you cannot say because a man is not there or a man is not in the home. I'm saying
I
this.
I can say that. I can say that because I'm living proof. And I see it in everybody, not every, well, most people I know, if their dad was not in their life, then and they had somebody, a father figure, or they had an uncle, or they had somebody that they can look up to, their odds are way better than somebody who does not have that in their life. So you can't just say about, you can't blame it on them not having, because that makes a big difference. I promise you, it makes a big difference having somebody that you can look up to and be like, okay, I would want my man, when I get older, to be like this person, teaching me as a female what's acceptable from a man and what's not acceptable from a man. If the mama don't know, then she going to raise her child the same way she grew up, or she's going to raise her child the opposite of how she grew up because she doesn't want her son to be how other people were. So scenarios, it all depends on the person's choice that they made. You can either choose to be like, okay, no, you're going to do it this way. And then I see that when women, I don't want to make it about women, but I see that when they try to raise their sons in a more hardcore manner, it can backfire. And that boy ends up becoming a man who don't like women, who abuse women because of how their mama raised them, because their mama was so tough on them. Also, their mama could be so give in to everything, and the child, the man comes, grows up to be the boy grows up to be a man, and he wants a woman to take care of him. There has to be a balance. You need a little tenderness, and you need a little toughness. And because there is a lack of balance, that's the issue. It's either extreme one way or extreme another way. At the end of the day, if there's no balance, then it's not gonna work.
I'm looking at the time, and we going, and you just, I'm gonna say this, and I hope I don't my wife when I say this, but it's like you make excuses. Got to be a balance. We already know coming into this world, it's not gonna be balanced. It's not gonna be balanced. It's not going. There's no one that grew up. And all I'm saying is this, and I'm not, because my mother, she was, you know, she touched, she say anything. And when we was growing up, she said and did everything.
But you got kids raising kids. My mom raised.
Okay.
My mom had me at the age of 14. I grew up with my mom.
What I'm saying
is, you got to look at the whole spectrum. You just can't look at just one spectrum. People don't grow up in ideal situations.
That's what I'm
Look at the whole spectrum.
You don't go
so
up in ideal situations. But you cannot, okay, it should be, but we know that it's not. You know, we don't grow up with, and these people I know don't grow up with a silver spoon in their mouth. But what I'm saying is everyone's situation is different. There wasn't a balance of this, a balance of that. You had to make do with what you had. And if you had some fathers that was in the house was alcoholics. Some fathers that was in the house was abusive. Some fathers that was in the house. So you had something, and it messed a child up. But at some point, and this is what I'm tired of people making excuses. And then the man never, ever faces responsibility of being the way that they are it's always because this, that, and the other. I got a brother, and I'm going to say it, I say it, 63 years old, still blaming my mother and his father about the way his life turned out. 63. Ain't got a pot to piss in, but still blaming, still making bad decisions. At what point do you take it and be like, it's you? I give it, okay, you had a bad go-around. Okay, I get it. You had a bad go-around. You got it together. You got it fixed. Now you know. You didn't know then, but now you know now. We want to give excuses. Now we want to say to people raising a young and they raise, okay, well, people that raised them, they were young. People raised them, they were young. At some point, stop making excuses for these boys and make them responsible for people.
I don't think people know. They don't know their parts. They don't know what it means to be a man and what a man's role is. You see so many different types of men now who walk different type of lifestyles, and you don't even know if they real men. I mean, so it's like so much confusion in the world.
And now that's where we're going to have to probably, and next week we're going to deal with a more spiritual side of what God intended a man to be. We're just giving definitions of what we see on a day-in, day-out basis. And also, I'm going to say this, and I don't, you know, if I make women mad, I just make them mad. Really don't care. But for the women that's raising these young men and raising them to be boys and not men, raising them to be sissies, punks, all of that, because you don't know the definition of a real man yourself. You don't.
Exactly.
Okay,
so
your point, but at some point,
how you expect
the boy to know
if your parents don't know? Even the men don't even know.
Well, first of all, I'm going to say it like this. Responsibility. Kids today have no responsibility. None whatsoever. So, therefore, you're starting off wrong with no responsibility. You do everything for them, number one. Number two, you give them everything they want. You're making something that's not realistic in the world. To sit at home, play PlayStation all day, smoke weed, eat up food, and don't have a job, and it's okay with the mama, something's wrong with the mama. Something's wrong. To sit there, send your child to school and tell, and with no responsibility whatsoever. At some point, at some age, in your teens, your 20s, you have to be responsible. At some point, a light is going to go off in your head and be like, oh, this is how I do it. But you got more young get-rich-quick schemes, how to get over on people, and yet don't know how to take care. Yeah, they don't take care of themselves, take care of a family. All they know how to do is get up, eat, go to the bathroom, and make babies, and don't take care of near one of them, and know how to go buy them Nikes and all this expensive stuff that they can't even afford. And then you make the excuse that because they don't know. At some point, stop making excuses for these males and make them responsible. Like Adam was in the garden. But when Adam was in the garden with responsibilities, what happened to him? He listened to a woman. He did exactly what the woman told him to do, and he's been messed up from day one ever since then. So when you say,
you know what,
they
let
don't
me just
know.
Make a comment. Let me make a comment about what you just said. With Adam, I mean, because people love to say what you just said. So Eve was the one that was deceived. All she did was hand it to Adam. He did not object. So he went along with it. So you want to keep it, okay, she didn't shove it down his throat. She didn't push it in his face. The Bible doesn't say anything about him objecting to, like, he didn't want it. He did not object to her giving it to him. So for you to, not you, but people love to throw that out there like she just deceived him and she was shady and she was a snake, whatever. He didn't object to what she gave him. He was a man. He had a choice.
You just summed up my whole point with what you just said. You're right. And that's it. And again, from day one, from the beginning of the time, when we're talking about the man's role, it was jacked up because the woman was deceived. And the way the woman is being deceived today, it didn't pass it on to our sons. And because it's been passed on to our sons, we listen. All you got to do is look around. All you got to do is look around.
She can't make, she did not have that child by herself. And it's a cop out to put it all on her shoulders. She did not make that child by herself.
When I see these young men today walking around here, I'm not going to deal with the young, I'm going to deal with the men in my age group. Got all these babies going around here looking the way that they look with the game that they can spit out and yet deceive a woman, and you already see what's in front of you ain't no good. You see it. All it is a shiny apple. And God is telling you to stay away from
it. The Lord gave instructions to Adam not to eat it. He gave the instructions to Adam, right?
Right. He sure did. Adam ate it.
He was supposed Adam to be about it. His business. He was He's the head. He was in charge. He should have been like, no, give that back.
I'm going to deal with that part next week. I'm going to deal with the spiritual part and how Adam was a punk and let the woman decide to shape him for what he did. I understand it. Because, and I'm going to say this, had it been me in there, I would like to think I would have did something differently, but I probably would have done the same thing.
You would have ate it.
I've done the same thing.
You would have ate it.
But at the same token, I'm not going to sit up here and see the mistakes that people make and then cover it up and be like, because there ain't no man involved in the picture. And see, that's the brainwash that I believe people want to put in there because there ain't a man. But you know right from wrong. Adam knew not to eat that apple, but yet because he was a man and he was so enticed with a woman, he listened to what the woman say. That's why these young boys, I'm not going to call them men, you got a lot of them on the down low. You got a lot of them that don't want to do no responsibility. You got a lot of them that want to be entitled to because of what? They won't because of the woman. And then when a real man wants to step up and try to check it, we get poo-poo on and excuse. Real men don't deal with excuse. If I mess up, I mess up. My bad. My fault. I'm going to try to fix it. I'm not going to stay down too long. I will fix it and get it together, but I'm not going to make excuses for why I do wrong. Okay, we'll figure it out. We're going to keep it moving. You got more men make excuses about everything, about their childhood, about this, about that. Come on, give me a, I'm tired of hearing that. I'm tired of seeing it. These young men, they don't even know how to date no more. They don't believe in courting. They don't believe when you come around grown folks, You act a certain way. You use certain language. There's no more of that. Well, we're living in a different time, and this is different, and the world is... No, it's the same yesterday, today, and it's the same. Now, if you want to say I'm old school, staying old school, but it's right. Stop making excuses for these punks. Take the panties off and put some drawers on them and let them be men. Give them some responsibility. And it starts from when they first come out, give them some responsibility.
Yes, men, play your part.
Stop making excuses.
Men, play your part. Do what you're supposed to be doing.
There you go. You want to put it. See, my point is this.
You
want to say because they're a man.
You make it about the women. Because you're making this about women raising men. Mm-hmm. I didn't know we were talking about that, but that's how the conversation is going with how the woman is the mom or the whoever the woman is letting the young man do this and do that. Okay.
They're not.
The real men need to play. Okay, but the men need, where the men at though? Play your part. Do what you're supposed to be about your business.
Well, I'm trying to be as far and in between. Because you can't really get a lot of real men together because real men got real men issues. We work. The stuff we got going on. We ain't got time to be dealing with.
As a woman,
we don't have time.
I can't teach my son how to do. Don't ask me about shaving. I don't know. I don't know this man stuff. I don't even know. I mean, I can read a book.
First and foremost, I'm not saying you don't know. But I said this in the very beginning.
It should be somebody available, if possible, in your circle somewhere that should be able to tell you, no, you don't do it that way. This is how you do it. And I don't see people doing that.
First and foremost, and I know I'm getting in trouble for that, I'm not talking about you, but first and foremost, just for that comment you said you don't see it being done, because when it tries to get done, real men get stopped because I'm not raising my son like that. That's what's said. It's always an excuse for when discipline is supposed to be said or set up, we're not doing it that way. I don't want it done that way. That's the excuse. There's always an excuse or a reason for when it comes out, people don't want to deal with it. So when you try to tell them how to shave, when you try to tell them how to do this and how to do that, we don't want to hear it because it's so far bombarded to your ears, you don't want to listen to it. And when you don't want to listen to it, it gets frowned upon. So when you say there's no real men, they're out there. It's just when they try to put their foot down, you got more other people saying, don't do it. Now you got a lot of males saying, we don't do it that way. And I just want to smack them.
You know, I'm going to share, when my son was younger, 13, 12, 14, I was at a church, and I used to always ask, I need some help. Like, my son is getting out of control. I need somebody to help. Like, I'm asking the pastor, the first lady, is there anybody that could, you know, help? Because I'm not doing this thing right. And I asked this for at least 3-4 years. And somebody would start out and they would hang out, you know, take them, do whatever guy stuff or whatever. Then they would disappear. And it was just like that periodically. So me personally, there was no, even though I asked for help, there was nobody available. People live their own lives. People got stuff that they got to do. And nobody wants to take the time out to help somebody else. That's my personal experience.
And I remember that experience. That's when before we got married and I was in Ohio and you was asking for help. I remember that. Now, I wish you wouldn't have brought it up because now I'm going to say some stuff that I just got to say because the truth will set people free. A lot of the men that you was asking for help in the church, you was asking for help because you fit a choir condition, because you was a certain position. They wasn't going to help you fully because you wasn't in that status quo. And this is what I'm talking about. And yeah, there's some men in the church who are a bunch of punks who think that they stuff don't stink and who don't want to pass it on because A, they're selfish. Two, they're ignorant. Three, they just don't care. Four, they don't have God in their life. They may have a form of it, but they don't have it. Because when you see someone that need help, you're going to do all you can to try to help them and not just go take them to McDonald's and shoot a basket one weekend and then leave them alone and out there to drown. Because when you ask for help, and if someone said, I need some help, I'm going to help them all the way through. It's not going to be a one-time situation and then I'm done. Because that's not what God put in me. So when you say that, all the men, as far as I'm concerned, can kiss where the sun don't shine, and that's I'm being honest. Real men don't do that. You don't put something out there, and then you want me to help. I'm going to help you. Now, if you don't want my help, then that's okay. You don't want my help, but don't ask for my help, and then I'm going because it don't fit because I'm busy. That ain't got nothing to do with it, and that's part of the church. everybody busy doing their own thing, got no time for nobody else's, or when someone is reaching out for help. And to me, that's sad, it's disgusting, and it don't even make no sense. And even to come to the fact, they can go to the church for 4 or 5 years, and they don't even know their name, and they're not even like a mega church. There's only about 50 people there anyway, and they don't even know their name. And yet they were doing some type of stuff in the church. They don't even know their name. All right, there's something wrong with that. So, yeah, I'm calling out all these punk men, and some of them happen to have titles of being pastors and elders and ministers. They're punks, especially when a female asks you for help and you don't help her. That's a coward move. That's a punk move. And I can't be around a bunch of punks. Ain't going to get mad at me because I voice my opinion. They're some punks. And then you go, you keep staring the pot a little bit, and I'm going to stare the pot because it's my show, and you look at their kids and how their kids is acting, they're in the same position that you was in. They need help with their kids too. And they got real men that's in the household. What's wrong with them? They can't keep a wife. Their kids can't keep a wife. They be out there drinking alcohol and smoking and doing all that other kind of stuff. I work with them. When I say what I say it because I'm passionate about what I'm saying and what I'm doing. So a lot of these churches, and some of them, my wife happened to be a member too, and you can go back and tell them what I said. And if they want me, they can call me. They know my phone number. They got my email. They got all the information, and we can have a conversation. Because when I first came here and I needed some help and I went to the church, I got dogged out. From a group of men.
Well, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to
They do need help. They do, and at some point in time, I need help. And if I can't go to a man and ask a real man, a real brother, I need some help, and they don't want to help me for whatever reason, okay, do I believe with Christ? So when I get passionate about what I say, when I preach and I do what I do, it's coming from a certain place. So, yeah, when I see these men, and they phony men who yet they say they love the Lord, but yet when the test is out there, they flunk the test every time. And yet we make excuses. So what about these uppity men who's in church, who got positions, who can help, but they refuse not to help? And when you look, too. So as me, they're parading to be something that they're not. At least me, I'm honest. My oldest boy, I love him to death because my oldest boy is a lot different from my youngest boy. My oldest boy has never, ever, ever disrespected me. Never. If he gets upset with me, he'll say, okay. He won't get mad. He won't get loud. And he'll move on about his business. Now, my baby boy, oh, it's a totally different generation. He going to speak his mind. He will speak his mind. And I'm too old now to knock him down, but I still tell him I got one left in me if I need to use it. But yet and still, if I need help, can I go to another man? I need some help with this. We can talk about it as brother, and we can move on. And I can get some help. These other brothers, these other men in these churches, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's part of me, and I'm not perfect, and I say some stuff about what I want to say. I question their manhood. I just question it. And I say that because I went to them asking for help. And not the help that you think. I was just asking for help. You know, I'm a new married man and a splendid family. Can you help a brother? I need some help. Stuff is out of control. The only time they helped me is when I messed up. Because there was some drama. Because there was some stuff that wasn't issues to make me look bad. And that was only for 2 minutes. But when I was asking for help for stuff that I need help, help build this, help build that, they wasn't nowhere to be found. And it's just like a lot of men today. Let me do something wrong. Let me slip and fall. Let me hurt myself. Let me do something that's wrong. Well, I need a man's opinion. I need some man bondage. Watch and see what happens. Them Negroes were nowhere to be found.
You know, on a side note,
when I want to look bad, they want to come on out. I'm done. I will finish this next week. We'll finish. We're going to go a couple weeks next week.
I just want to make a comment on a side note to what you just said, because just recently, what was it, back in June, or I think, you know, we had a situation. We had to go to the police station, and I'm asking, like, for programs, you know, for my son. And it's like, even with trying to go to the authorities to get help, it's like when you do something bad, oh yeah, they're gonna help you then. They help you put them cuffs on you. But when you asking for help, there is no help available. And that's what it just seems like. We got it backwards. Something is wrong. We need to fix it. There need to be some type of classes, some type of something to help these young men, and I'm going to say young women as well. I mean, just like the Titus 2 tells us, we need that old school brought back, where a place where, you know, you have a safe place where you can go and talk about what's going on as a young man, ask questions on how to do this, get some guidance, as well as young women. I mean, it's a loss. It's something that's lost, and it's evident in everything that you see that's going on in the world. There is no place for people to go to have that open dialogue to get help. That's all I'm going to say. Prayerfully, somebody is wise enough, have the ability to maybe start something to have a place where, you know, instead of them turning to the streets, they can turn to an organization, not a gang, because I'm not talking about a gang affiliation. I'm just saying somewhere positive where people are real. And, you know, they're going to know if you're real. If you're being fake and phony, they're going to know it. So just a place where somebody can go get some help. And it's like, we don't have that. And we need it.
I'm going to disagree with that. There is places, there are people. And it may not be an organization,
where?
But there are people.
Enlighten me.
The thing about it is this, and we continue this conversation off the air, but there are people. And if you need some help, you send them to the right people. The right people will get them straight. And if the right people can't get them straight, what the problem is the right people that I will send them to, they're not coming to sing Kumbaya. They're not coming to have a prayer meeting. They're coming put their foot down and give some responsibility, period.
Okay,
and that's
so,
the problem.
But what you're,
that is the problem.
Again, there has to be a balance, too. I mean, you can't just show somebody how to be hard, and you got to show them how to do everything.
It's about being a man.
All the way around.
It's not about you thinking
all
hard.
The way.
See, that's,
okay.
That's the role. That's
because
the problem. You think being a man is being hard.
That's the hard I know. That's the hard I know.
No, that's not the hard.
You got to be a man, and that's. Okay, that's my whole point. There should be somewhere. You know places or people or whatever.
I know some people. I've never met them. You met them. The fact of the matter is, the question is if you can handle what they're going to dish out. Because when they dish it out, it's being a man. And there's a lot of things. I will say this about certain people. There's certain people in my life that can tell me stuff that I will respect. Not a lot. There's a few men that I will listen to. And when I listen to these men and I tell them the stuff I'm going through, they tell me the exact same thing that I would tell somebody else. But when you try to incorporate that into your life skill, it's like you being too hard. It ain't about being too hard. It's about showing a man how to be a man. It's not hard. It's very simple. The thing about it is, what's hard is you seeing your sons being checked by a man who's going to show them how to be a man. Most females don't want to see that. So when you say it got to be a balance, there's no balance in being a man. A man is a man, period. That balance stuff, that's how you get that DL stuff and creep it up in them, showing a balance. There's no balance in a real man. A real man deals with certain things. He deals with responsibility only a way that he knows how. There is no balance.
Well, I'm going to let that be your opinion, that this is your opinion.
See, there you go, pouring water over what I'm building. You just want to knock it down with a comment. But that's what it is. And what I'm saying, most men, whether you agree with me or not, really doesn't matter, because I'm a man, and I know how to be a man. Responsibility. So, no, I really not. So, anyway, I'm sorry. I just lost Kay again. She got kicked off. I didn't do it. Maybe my engineers don't like what she's saying. And with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and close this out. But she did get kicked off, I'm being told. She can call back in when she wants to, but I just think that her opinion, and she's entitled to it as a woman, have an opinion and all this kind of stuff, but being a real man is not easy. It's tough. And you have to be tough. There is no balance in being a man. I don't think there's a balance. You're a man. You know how. And as a man, as you grow older and as you grow wiser, you learn how to incorporate certain things, balance. You learn how to deal with certain things. But there is no balance. And no, I didn't kick you off again. I don't know what's going on with you and your mic tonight. Maybe my engineers isn't liking what you're saying. But with that being said, I'm going to give you the last word of the night.
I'm good. I don't need to get a run out. I don't want to get hung up on again.
You're not going to get hung up again. I just put them on notice. And you hang up on my, they will get dealt with. But I'm going to give you a chance to sum everything up. Just let me go over the weekly schedule. Tomorrow night we have Praise Tabernacle Bible Study at 7 p.m. Same website, same phone number, 7 p.m. Also on Thursday, we have Omar Zachary Family Ministries, 7 p.m., same phone number, same web station. And you can also watch it on Facebook Live. Also on Sunday morning, 9 a.m., you have Praise Tabernacle Church, Bishop Omar Zachary, Lady Zachary, Praise Tabernacle Church every Sunday morning at 9, same station, same phone number, and it's also on Facebook Live. With that being said, next week we're going to deal more of a spiritual level, God intent, what is the call of the man. We're going to deal with that more of a spiritual sense. We just wanted to get some things out there about men. I didn't mean to knock on some people's females, tell my wife upset with me. So let me go and see what I can do to make this right, get me through the night. Y'all pray for me, and I'm going to turn it over to her. She's going to dismiss us. And I'll see everybody tomorrow night, Bible study, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Okay, Kay, you can go ahead and dismiss. And have your last comment. We can hear you. You on.
Okay. I don't have a last comment because I got thrown off. So I'm just going to thank everybody for listening tonight. I don't know if you have any comments. You can inbox me, you can text my husband if you have his number or whatever, or inbox him. But I pray that something was said, at least to spark a conversation, at least to see if you, can be a light to someone who may be in need, if you recognize someone who needs, some type of positivity in their lives. So that's my prayer. And we're all here to help each other and grow and be better for our community. All right. So with that being said, I'm going to give you our email. If you have any prayer requests, if you have any testimonies, please send those to ptcforchrist@gmail.com. So that's P for praise, T for tabernacle, C for church, forchrist@gmail.com. Again, thank everybody for listening. I'm just going to close this out. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come together one more time on this evening. We pray for everyone that was listening. We pray for any souls that are out there that are lost, that need you. We pray that someone come in their path to give them a word straight from you, not by their flesh, but by your spirit. Lord, we honor you and we praise you. We ask that you continue to guide us throughout this week, be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We ask that you just let your will be done in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone have a good night and have a great week. Good night.